Thank you. Good evening. It is indeed good to be with you. I'm Pastor Mike Toomey, one of the pastors here at Hope, and as we welcome everyone who's worshiping with us in person, we also welcome those who are worshiping with us online. It is good that we are here together to worship and to be in the very presence of God's holy word, a word that meets us where we're at and changes our lives and brings us to the very heart of God. That's what we've been talking about through this time as we've been getting ready for Christmas, this time of Advent. We've been preparing to celebrate the incarnation of Jesus. And as we've been thinking about that preparation, it's about the characteristics of God. Tonight, I want to talk to you about one of those, and it's this one. God is loving. God is loving. Let's have a word of prayer before we continue. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that indeed he is loving, and that in him your love was made perfect, shown to us. Heavenly Father, help us to rejoice, rest, and find strength, purpose, and meaning in his death and in his resurrection. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. So what is love? What is love? A whole bunch of poets and songwriters have tried to find a definition about what that is. What is love? And they usually come up, well, far too short. Part of the problem is the word love in the English language is just messy linguistically. It's kind of this terrible, awful word. In English, we have up to 750,000 words. Did you know that? In the English language, we have up to 750,000 words. In today's English, we're speaking about 171 of them. Out of all of that, we have one word to describe a whole host of emotions and actions, love. Let me give you an example. I love ice cream. And in the same breath, I can say this, I love my wife. Those better not be the same two things. I love my best friend. And I love payday. Those better not be the two same things. The word love in the English language just needs to be unwrapped so that we can understand the very nature of God. And sometimes looking at how the Bible does it is really helpful because they were written in different languages. We just think about biblical Hebrew for a moment. In biblical Hebrew, we have 8,700 words, not nearly as many as there are in the English language. They have approximately 8 words for love. 8. Some of those words about love describe human attraction. They're kind of saucy. It's about that love between a man and a woman. It's that love that a man gets finally the nerve to ask for a woman's phone number so he can ask her out on a date. It's that kind of thing. That's a type of love that the Bible talks about. Then there's other types of love, the love between a parent and their child, the love between two friends. It speaks about a whole host of other ways, especially in the Old Testament. Sometimes it's about a contractual kind of love that describes God's love. Sometimes you'll hear it in the Bible called loving kindness. So when God says he's going to do something, and because he said it, it gets done. That's the kind of love. Or sometimes it's about this, a devotional kind of love. Where God says, those are my people, and even though they stray from me, I'm going to care for them, and I'm going to love them. I'm going to run after them time and time again, because they're mine. The Greek language in the Bible, there's about 5,400 words. And they got four types of love that they describe there. One of the great authors of the last century, by the name of C.S. Lewis, he wrote about them. It's a book called The Four Loves. If you're looking for a last-minute Christmas present for anyone, you can certainly get that on Audible or something along that line. A great idea. Talking about the four loves. And yeah, one of those is that saucy kind of love that happens between a man and a woman. Then there's another type of love. It's called storge. It's that familial kind of love. It's that idea that the love between a mom and her child just doesn't hardly ever get broken. It's strong. The love between brothers or the love between a brother and a sister, it's strong. Love as a brother. I was not a good big brother, by the way. As a big brother, I constantly teased and picked on my sister, which wasn't nice. It's part of my confession to you folks, but when the kids from across the street swung a punch at her, storge kicked in real quick, and I sat on their chest and pounded on them until their big brother showed up. Storge, we defend one another. We come together. We build one another up. And then there's other types of love, the love of between two friends. So love when you invest in one another. You got that friend that you've had since you're a little child. You've spent so much time, you describe yourselves as brothers from another mother. That is, yes, another kind of love. There's the fourth type. And one of the strangest places where I found one of the best descriptions of that comes from the teachings of a rabbi. This rabbi, his name is Abraham Twersky. And he does this beautiful teaching about talking about fish love. Let me tell you how he does it. You can find his teachings on YouTube, by the way. He says it's like this. A rabbi went up to a young man and said, I see you're eating lunch. What are you having for lunch? And the young man said to him, well, I'm having fish. And the rabbi said, well, do you like fish? And the young man said, well, not exactly like it. I love fish. Really, tell me about that love. And the young man said, I love to go fishing. I love to go out to nature, and I love to catch fish. And then I even like to clean them, and I love to cook them, and I love to eat them. And the rabbi said, so let me get this straight. You love to go out into the wild and inflict some pain on this beast and then kill it and then broil its flesh and consume it. The rabbi said to the young man, that's not love. You love yourself, but that you don't love fish. I think he started to get something right. The rabbi continues his teaching, and he says, it's the same way when it comes to so often young couples. A young man might say this about his wife or his fiance or a girlfriend. He might say, she meets all of my physical and emotional needs. Therefore, I love her. Young woman might say the same thing about her husband. He meets all of my physical and emotional needs. And the rabbi continues, he says, that's not love either. Might be a good thing, but true love is something much greater than consuming one another. True love is about giving yourself away. True love is about giving yourself away. In the New Testament, the Greek word for this is agape. This is the love of John 3:16. It describes what God does. For God so loved the world. What did he do? He gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This kind of true love is the love of Jesus that he shows in the night in which he's betrayed. Where what does Jesus do? But he gathers his disciples together and he begins to show them what the cross is all about. Where he gathers them in and he washes their feet. And he tells them, I am not your master. I am your friend. And just as I loved you, just as I give myself away for you in this moment, I'm going to ask that you give of yourselves away for one another. And tomorrow I'm going to show you what this foot washing is all about on the cross. This is the love that we find in John when Jesus Christ goes to the cross. This is the love that we find in 1 John. When we heard already, this is how God showed us his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us first and sent his Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sin. You see, Jesus Christ came into this world to live amongst you and me. Jesus Christ came into this world for you, that he might go to that cross for you, that he might bear your sin, not just the sin of the world, but your sin, that he might join you in your death, not just the death of the world, but join you in death so that you get to join him in resurrection life. This is love, that God completely gives himself away for you. And when we understand that, when we begin to believe that, that love fundamentally changes you and me. It changes our actions. Instead of consuming one another, we begin to give ourselves away. If you wonder what this world needs more of, it's not the kind of love that consumes, but it's the kind of love that gives itself away. This world needs more followers of Jesus Christ to give ourselves away so this world will know about that cross and the hope that it brings. God is loving. God is love. He loves each and every one of you. So what does that mean for our lives? There's two words in that letter in John's gospel, or in John's letter, that jump out. And you didn't hear them because the people that translated the NIV actually got this one wrong. The NIV is a great translation, but they absolutely bombed in the translation of this one. You heard it as, "Dear friends, let us love one another." If I'm going to translate this right, it's this: beloved. You are the beloved of God. Not just a dear friend, but you are the beloved of God. And that's going to change how you walk. It's going to change how you talk. It's going to change how you relate to other people. Because the very next word is, let us love. Let us love one another. I think in this time of year, one of the things that I encourage people to do is I want you to experience God's love. I want you to experience God's love. And a lot of people ask, well, how can I do that? I'm going to have the nerve to say this on December 22nd. Slow down. You folks that are here, you're doing it. You folks that are watching online, you're doing it. If you're watching this on December 26th, God bless you. Slow down your life. You see, when we slow down, that's when we begin to hear the voice of God. That's when we begin to make space and time to listen to the story of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. We need to slow down. We need to unplug from the internet. We need to unplug from the busyness, hecticness of daily life. We need to say no to some of the things that this society is pressing upon us so that we can say yes to hearing the story of Jesus. One of the authors that I love to read, his name is John Ortberg, and he quoted a mentor of his by the name of Dallas Willard. Dallas Willard was a fantastic Christian and philosopher, and he said this about experiencing God's love. He says, to care for your soul, you must ruthlessly eliminate hurry. When you do that, you pause and you begin to hear the still small voice of God. In that pause, worship the one who came to us as a babe on Christmas. When you take time to worship, worship the one who died on a cross and was raised from the dead. Open up the Holy Scriptures and read them. Take time to pray. Take time to sing. And when you do, you will experience the very love of God, and it will transform you. You will understand that indeed you are the beloved and that you can love one another. That's the second thing we're called to do in this time of year, is to really show the love of God through who we are. That's what we're supposed to do at all times, but this is one of those bright times when we can do that. When the days are so dark, we can be a shining light to those who are experiencing all sorts of sadness and emotional pain. We can move into spiritual darkness and show the light of Jesus Christ. It's amazing the generosity that this congregation has done. One of the ways that you are showing God's love, the love of Christ through who you are and what you do, is with the FM Emergency Food Pantry. We're just getting to the point where we're counting up the gifts that you guys have been able to give and putting the math together. And as we're sitting here, we know that we're over $50,000 already. Multiply that by four. You've just provided more than 20,000 meals, 200,000 meals to the FM area. Let us love one another. Thank you for that generosity of treasure. Well, there's another way. Do you know how children spell love? They also use four letters. T-I-M-E. Time. I don't think it's just children that spell love with those four letters, but all of us do. Not only do we generously give of ourselves to the treasure that we might have, but we generously give of ourselves to the time that we do have. We make time for the neighbor, take time to listen. Your neighbors are hurting. We've experienced so much division. We've experienced more death this year than we ever have at Hope. Take time to listen to those who are alone. Take time to listen to those who are depressed. Take time to listen to those who are anxious. Give of yourself. That is how we can show God's love, is dedicating the time we have to give ourselves away. For some people, that's being greeters and ushers. So when people walk in the doors, they know that we are glad that every person who sets foot in this building, we are glad that every person who sets foot in this building is here, and we want them to know that. Ushers and greeters do that in fantastic ways. I think about our Stephen ministers who give of their time and give of themselves away so that those who are hurting and broken, going through times of crisis, know that they are not alone. Same way with our visitors who go to nursing homes, hospitals, to take time to visit with those who are elderly, alone, shut in, to know that we have not forgotten, but that we indeed love them, because we give of ourselves away with time. Or I think about our Hope Kids leaders, are confirmation guides. And those who give of themselves to high school ministry, they give of their time to be with people so that all might be encouraged to know the love of Jesus Christ. You are the beloved. God loves you. He's given up everything so that he might have a life-giving, eternal relationship with you. So now let us love one another and give of ourselves so that people will know the saving love of Jesus. And in his name we pray. God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for this day. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the empty tomb. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that guides us and shows us how to be your people in this world. Heavenly Father, as we open our lips and mouths to sing your praise, may many hear the story of your life, your death, your resurrection, and the hope you bring. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said,